Good morning. The reading for today comes from a psalm, the first psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. For those who I haven't met yet, my name's Heidi, and I'm the Associate Minister here at Dixon Baptist Church. And as Matt and Orizan mentioned, today we are kicking off a new series in the Book of Psalms. And you might be thinking, but we just had some Psalms in January, which is correct. So usually each year we spend summer over January looking at different Psalms in the Bible, but we thought that we would actually, as a church, spend some time in the book of Psalms. So we're going to spend 8 weeks actually looking at a selection of Psalms across the whole book. We'll start with Psalm 1, we'll finish with Psalm 150, and then we'll look at a collection of different types of Psalms that appear throughout the book. And we're hoping that as we do this series, we would find our lives of prayer and worship enriched, and that we as a church would grow closer to God as we use these psalms in our prayers during the week, but also together when we gather on a Sunday. So that's our hope and prayer. And as I said, today we are kicking off with Psalm 1. So let's ask for God's help before we dive into it. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to gather together today. We thank you that you have made us your children, that we are your family. And we do thank you, Father, for your word, for the way that it instructs and guides us. So we pray this morning that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would teach us something new, that you would draw us closer to yourself. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Now let me begin by asking us all a question. What is the good life? Or to put it another way, what do you think is the key to a life of happiness? It's a big question, isn't it? Well, if we look around at our world, we'll find no shortage of answers to this question. What is the good life? Some say it's finding the perfect partner and enjoying a long, healthy, and happy marriage. Some say the good life is found in family, having children that you love and adore and who love and adore you. Some see the good life as moving into your forever home, owning your very own little slice of property. Or maybe it's finding that perfect job that ticks all of your boxes, like that saying, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. It sounds nice, doesn't it? What is the good life? We can go on. Is it being financially comfortable, maybe even well off, so you can save and have enough to give away? Is it dropping down to a 4 or 3 day work week? Is it being free and able to travel and see the world? Is it being fit and healthy, having stable and loving friendships, finding a hobby or two that you really love, getting good grades at school or university, being liked by those around you? Or is the good life none of this? Is it moving far away and buying a farm so you can spend your days growing vegetables and reading books? What is the good life? What is the key to a life of happiness? Well, this is a question that I'm sure sits close to many of our hearts. We want the good life, don't we? We want these things because life feels better when we have them. We want to be happy. We crave blessing and stability. Life is better when we flourish. No one wants less than the good life. We endure suffering, but we don't go looking for it. But what is the good life? Where do we find this true and enduring happiness? Well, today we're looking at Psalm 1, And we're beginning our series in the book of Psalms right at the beginning. Psalm 1 was chosen and placed here at the beginning of the book of Psalms to function as an introduction. When we read Psalm 1, we get a glimpse of what is to come. It sets the tone and it tells us how we should approach the rest of the book of Psalms. And have a look, if you have your Bibles open in front of you, have a look at the very first word that appears in the book of Psalms. As you open up this mammoth collection of 150 songs, Psalm 1 verse 1 begins with, "Blessed is the one." The very first word uttered in the book of Psalms is the word, blessed. This is the Hebrew word, esher. It means to be in a state of happiness. Now, there is another word in Hebrew that means to be more directly blessed by God or to receive God's favour. But Psalm 1 doesn't use that word. It uses esher. This psalm is talking about the person who is happy. But more than that, the person who is joyful, who delights in life itself. Psalm 1 is talking about the person who has found this good life, the person who has found the key to a life of happiness. What is the good life? Psalm 1 gives us an answer right here at the beginning. And so as we work through this psalm to uncover what it says about the good life, we're going to look at each of the three images that it gives us. We'll look at the tree, then the chaff, and then the way. And then we'll finish by asking why this particular psalm was chosen to sit right at the beginning as an introduction to all the other psalms. But before we jump into looking at the first image this psalm gives us, we need to understand quickly what kind of psalm it is. I just mentioned briefly before that there's lots of different types of psalms that we come across, and so we need to understand that Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm. Now, that means that it uses the language and ideas found in other wisdom books of the Bible. So think Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Like all wisdom literature, Psalm 1 divides the world into two types of people: the righteous and the wicked. The righteous are those who live God's way. They're not perfect, they're not sinless, but they have made God their Lord and received his salvation. The wicked, on the other hand, are those who live without acknowledging God as their Lord. They choose their own way over God's way and choose to live in sin rather than accept God's salvation. So to keep these two groups of people in mind as we look at the first image we come to in Psalm 1, and that is the image of the tree. So let's read verses 1 to 3 again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. When I was a kid, my family took a month-long camping trip around rural New South Wales and Victoria. We landed in a tiny town called Corryong for about a week, and it was the middle of summer, and the town had about three shops. There wasn't a whole lot to do. But the caravan park where we were staying had a river. And by the river, there was a tree. A big, old, leafy tree with strong branches and a wide canopy providing tons of shade. And one of the branches had a rope swing tied to it. And so we spent that week, swimming, swinging, bombing, splashing, and lying under the shade of that big, old tree. For us, that tree was an oasis. And then after a week, we packed up and left. But that tree remained. It had stood in that place by that river for who knows how many years. Thousands of bored Aussie kids like me have swung off its branches and laid under its shade. It has stood there through drought, flood, and storm. And every summer, when all the other land around it browns off and dies, that tree stands, green and luscious, and full of life. This is how Psalm 1 describes the good life. Have a look again at verse 3. The blessed person, the happy person, is like that old tree planted by the river. They're stable, permanent, deeply established. They have a resilience that reaches far beyond themselves. No matter what happens around them, what season of life they're in, they continue to flourish and prosper, unfazed by their surroundings. Their leaves stay green all year round. When I was a kid, that tree in the caravan park was an oasis. Everyone was drawn to it. It was attractive. And I think this image of the tree in Psalm 1 is exactly the same. We read the description of it and we feel drawn to it. Imagine for a second that you're an Israelite in the middle of kind of Israel-Jordan area where there's no greenery at all during the summertime. We feel drawn to it. We want to be this tree. We want stability. We want to be resilient. We want leaves that stay green all year round. So how do we become like this tree? How do we get this blessed, happy life? Well, someone tells us that we become like this tree when we choose to distance ourselves from the wicked and instead delight in God's instruction. Let's take a closer look at verse 1. Hebrew poetry often uses a literary technique called parallelism. As we work through the Psalms over the coming months, you're going to see it everywhere. Pretty much every psalm has it. Parallelism is when two or more lines of poetry express basically the same idea. Often the first line starts the idea, and then the lines that follow repeat the idea or progress it along, almost like telling a mini story across a few lines. Verse 1 here uses three lines of parallelism, and have a look at what happens in each of them. This verse could have just said, "Blessed is the one that stays away from the wicked." But instead it uses three lines to tell a story. Can you see how walking slows to standing and then eventually to sitting? This is the story of someone making their home among the wicked, amongst those who do not acknowledge God as their king and their creator. It begins with walking alongside them and listening to their advice, in step with them. Then that becomes standing beside them, with them, affirming their values. And finally, it ends in sitting or dwelling, it's the same word, with the wicked. Not just affirming them, but actually becoming one of them, letting their values become your values. Verse 1 describes a path that leads further and further away from God and his salvation, a path that does not lead to the good life. Blessing is not found by making your home with the wicked. Instead, in verse 2, the good life is found in delighting in the law of the Lord. Now let's read verses 1 and 2 quickly again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. When you hear the words, the law of the Lord, what comes to mind? What image comes to mind? And then when you read about someone delighting in this law, what kind of reaction do you have? I think for most of us, when we hear the word law, we think rules, right? We think statutes, decrees, lists of do's and do nots, like the Ten Commandments. The thought of delighting in this kind of law feels a little bit ridiculous, right? And meditating on it day and night seems like a great cure to insomnia. But the truth that Psalm 1 proclaims is that the good life is found when one delights in God's law. God's law is life-giving. It's the source of all righteousness and blessing. Psalm 1 says that if we want to be like that tree by the river, if we don't want to enjoy life truly and deeply, we need to be deeply rooted in the law of the Lord. So then what is this law that gives life? It must be more than just a dry list of rules. Well, the Hebrew word for law here is Torah. You've probably heard this word before. Torah is a word that also means instruction. Think of it less like judicial law, what we find in the courts, and more like instructions for life. And whose Torah is it? It's the Torah of Yahweh, the Torah of the Lord. The world is full of all sorts of instructions and laws for how to live life, But Psalm 1 is talking about God's law, what God has revealed to us in his word to help us as we live day by day. God has given us his word in scripture to instruct us and to guide us. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know the depth of our sin and brokenness. He wants us to know that we can find salvation in him. And he wants us to know the path to the good life lived with him. Psalm 1 says that the good life is found in delighting in this instruction, in meditating on it day and night. And the word for meditate here doesn't mean to sit in silence with an empty mind. This isn't the kind of meditation you find in Eastern religions and Buddhism. The word literally means to mutter or to mumble. Blessed is the one who verbalizes and speaks God's instruction. Blessed is the one who reminds themselves day in and day out of God's words to them. Blessed is the one who reads God's Torah and then speaks it back to him. So if we go back to verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Do you want to be like this tree? Someone tells us we have a choice to make. Will we walk in step with God's law? Will we walk in step with the wicked? Will we listen to their instruction and move further and further away from the good life? Or will we walk past them and listen to God's instruction instead? Will we walk in step with God's law? Because only one of these choices leads to the good life. Only those who find their delight in the law of the Lord will be like this tree planted by streams of water. And this is where we come to the second image that Psalm 1 gives us. The image of the chaff. Let's read verses 4 to 5. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Chaff is the dry, useless, outer husk of a grain. When a grain like wheat, for example, is thrown up into the wind, the heavy kernel, it falls back to the ground and it's collected to be cooked and eaten. But the chaff on its outside is so light and fragile that it gets picked up by the wind and blown away. And eventually, if there's enough of it, that chaff is collected and it's thrown into the rubbish pile or burned. This image of the chaff here is the very opposite of the image of the tree. It's dry, lifeless, fragile. While the tree endures season after season because it's planted by streams of water, chaff is picked up by even a light wind and it disappears forever. Psalm 1 says the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. Without God's salvation and instruction, our lives are fragile and temporary. Outside of God's salvation and instruction, there is no life, only a long march to death. And verse 5 speaks of a judgment to come. It doesn't say what this judgment is or when to expect it, but it clearly says that when God's judgment comes, only the righteous who cling to God for salvation will remain. Those who reject God will disappear like chaff in the wind. These verses are painfully black and white, aren't they? Life is found in God, and outside of God, there is only death. We can be good people. We can live what we think is the good life. But unless we accept God's salvation and walk in step with his instruction, we are chaff. These verses are painfully black and white. I wish they were more palatable, a little bit grayer and more open to interpretation. But to smooth over these verses is to distort the truth. Life is found in God, and there is no life outside of God. All through Psalm 1, we are given two choices, two paths that we can follow. Do we walk in step with the wicked and disappear like chaff in the wind? Or do we walk in step with God and his law and become like that tree planted by streams of water? And now we come to the final image in Psalm 1, and this is the image of the way. Let's read verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So it's been one of my dreams for a long, long time to walk the Camino de Santiago across northern Spain. Has anyone here walked bits of it, or has anyone heard of it? Yeah, there we go. Great. You know what I'm talking about. So if I disappear for 6 weeks at any point, I have probably gone to walk the Camino, if I can do it in 6 weeks. The Camino is possibly the most famous walk in the entire world. It's a pilgrimage, 670 kilometres long, that people have been walking for over 1,000 years. It's incredibly long and incredibly old. And over that time, walking the Camino has been commonly referred to as walking the way. That's because the Camino de Santiago is not just a walk, it's a pilgrimage. It's a path walked with purpose, with meaning, with rhythms and patterns. Walking the Camino is what many would call a way of life. And the way is actually an old term. It's a biblical term. The word literally means just a road or a path. But when it's used like in Psalm 1 here, it means a way of life, a way of walking and living day in, day out, with purpose and meaning, rhythms and patterns. Everyone walks in a way of life. Everyone is walking one road or the other. And here in verse 6, we either walk the way of the wicked or we walk in the way of the righteous. We're back in black and white territory. There are two ways that we can live, but only one way leads to life. That word in verse 6, watches, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, when translated literally, means to know. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. There are two ways that we can live. Either you are in relationship with God, known by him and knowing him in return, or you perish. There is one way that leads to life, one way that leads to salvation, one way that leads to blessing. There's a mistake that people commonly make when reading Psalm 1. They see the words law and righteousness, and they assume that the path to life depends on how well they follow God's commands and do the right thing. But that is not what Psalm 1 is saying. The way of the righteous is not a set of rules to follow. The path to life cannot be earned just by our own efforts. Look again at verse 6. The Lord watches over. He knows the way of the righteous. It is all about relationship. The path to life is not earned. It is given to us. To walk in the way of the righteous is to walk in relationship with God. And when we walk in relationship with God, we receive life. Not only life, but the good life, a life of deep and enduring joy and happiness. As I was preparing this sermon, the same verse kept popping up into my mind over and over again. Psalm 1 speaks of a way that leads to life. And in John chapter 14, just after Jesus told his disciples that he was going to go away and leave them soon, this is what he said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus is saying here to his disciples, "I am the road. I am the path. I am the way of the righteous. Follow me, walk with me, and you will find life." And Jesus isn't just talking about future eternal life. He is also talking about life right here, right now. Jesus is not just a ticket that we get to eternal life. Jesus is eternal life itself, here and in the future. To walk the way of Jesus is to find the good life. And listen to how Jesus describes life with him across John's gospel. I'm sorry if this it's a little bit small, but I'll read them out for us. This is how Jesus describes life lived with him. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." To walk the way of Jesus is to find life. Not just future eternal life, but the good life, right here, right now as well. Jesus invites all of us to follow him along the way. And this is a free invitation. This is a gift. It does not need to be earned. Did you notice in these verses all that is required of us? Look at them again. We are to come, to believe, to enter, to follow, remain. Following Jesus is a gift. And if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, if you're still walking a different road, please know that the way of Jesus is open to you. It's more than open. Jesus is waiting for you to join him. He's waiting for you to come, believe, enter, and follow. Will you trust him enough to follow him and find life? Someone tells us that the good life is found by walking in relationship with our God, along the way of righteousness. And we know that this way of righteousness has found its fulfillment in Jesus. The good life is found by walking in the way of Jesus. But it would be naive to say that we simply need to put our faith in Jesus and life will be great all the time. We would be lying if we said that the way of Jesus didn't include pain and suffering. It most certainly does. We follow a Saviour who endured great pain and suffering because he loves us. We live in a fallen, broken world. Jesus has conquered the power of sin, but its presence still remains. Even as we walk the way of Jesus, we will hit all kinds of highs and lows in life. Not all seasons of life are the same, and some are harder than others. And that is why Psalm 1 sits at the beginning of the book of Psalms. Remember, verse 2 says, "Blessed is the one who mutters and mumbles the words of God to themselves. Blessed is the one who reads Torah and speaks it and prays it back to God." How do we find the good life? What is the key to true and lasting happiness? Well, God has given us a collection of 150 prayers and songs for us to use in every season of life. The Psalms are here to guide us and to instruct us as we walk the way of Jesus, as we cling on to the roller coaster of life. And they are here to be used. There are praise and thanksgiving psalms for us to use when God has done great things for us. There are hymns to help us in our worship, to give us words. There are psalms of confession and penitence to help us kneel before God when we fail. And there are psalms of deep lament for when life deals us heavy blows. No other part of the Bible is as emotionally raw and human as the Psalms. When we use them in our walk with God, They have the potential to take our ugly, messy worship and transform it into something beautiful and pleasing to God. God has given us the Psalms to help us delight in him as we walk the way of Jesus. And it is in this deep joy and delight that we find the good life. Blessed is the one who meditates on God's instruction day and night, in and out of season, whatever life brings our way. So as we spend the next few months here at DBC in the book of Psalms, as I said before, we're going to spend each of those weeks looking at a different type of psalm. Our hope is that this will enrich our lives of prayer and worship. And our prayer is that by journeying through the Psalms together, we would learn more deeply what it is to delight in God and his word in all seasons. So now, can I encourage you not to just leave the Psalms at the door each Sunday as you head off, but to take them with you throughout the week. Some of us will be very familiar with the Psalms, some of us not so much. But can I encourage you throughout the week, whatever you've heard on a Sunday, take it with you. Read them, pray them. And depending on our personalities and where we're at in life, some Psalms will mean more to us than others. Some will strike us more than others. And that's okay. That's why there's 150 of them. So as we journey through the Psalms together, find the ones that speak to you in your season right now and pray through them. Let them help you lift your eyes to God and delight in him, because that is where we find the good life. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a way of life to walk with you. We thank you that blessing is found by walking in relationship with you and your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we do not need to earn this path to life, but that it is a gift. And let us never forget that, Father. So we pray, Lord, as we go about our days and weeks and months, that you would help us to walk in step with you. You would help us to delight in you and your word. We pray, Father, that as we look around us and wonder how we can find joy, the good life, happiness, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us over and over again that we can find this joy and happiness and blessing only in you. So we pray, Father, that you would remind us of this today, remind us of this week, and we pray that you would encourage us as we walk the way of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.